Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Hey. Hello, Fashion Hags. We're back down here, and hello to one hag in particular. Miss Heather, we loved your email.
Yes, Heather.
Miss Heather. Miss Heather's.
Honey. Yes.
We're at a bit of a time warp. You emailed us a little while ago, but this isn't coming
out. Oh,
yeah,
this doesn't come out for a minute.
So thanks. Thanks for reaching out, and Evan insisted on opening the podcast for you.
So. Yes, she said she wanted more Evan, so here we go.
We all want more Evan. More Evan. Hello, Evan.
I mean, it's just I'm usually of the mind, like, I don't speak up unless I think I have something
that doesn't
worthwhile
doesn't stop Katie,
to
right?
say.
Maybe that's the problem.
Shit, this is our fault.
But when I have two co-hosts are so humorous and intelligent and colloquially gifted as Miss Katie Garnham and Miss Abby Campbell Shimka.
Honey, give yourself some credit.
Then
yeah, cut yourself some slack here, my friend.
Yeah. But anyhow, we have a fourth person in the room today.
We're very excited.
Another one of our fashion school adjacent.
You can say dropout.
Yeah. Fashion school dropout.
No, you just shifted gears. You did dropout.
You stayed in school. You just left.
She was one of the people who quickly realized that she didn't want a career in fashion, more so than the rest of the people who should have realized probably around the same time.
Save themselves a bunch of money and time. Madison, you did it the right way.
Yes.
Good.
We have Miss Madison Reed in
Hello.
The studio. Hi, Madison.
Longtime friend, graphic designer, feminist extraordinaire. We're so happy to have you here. This is very exciting.
Yeah.
You've been on
one of the good ones.
Finally.
Yep. One of the good ones.
Thanks, guys.
Yes. Yeah. Very excited.
Fantastic.
And if you missed it, this is the Fashion Eggs podcast. We are here in the business.
Yes. Episode 65.
65.
65.
It's hot.
It's happening.
Yes.
It is.
Spend the entire weekend at the beach.
Well, that's not too shabby.
You saw
beige pants?
I saw beige pants, except beige pants had black pants on, and I was like, oh my God, what's happening? The whole world is upside down. But then he took those wide leg black pants off, and underneath the wide leg pants were the beige cargo pants.
So everything's right in the world.
Everything is where it should be.
There's a previous episode of Katie's obsession with this guy who plays volleyball at the beach in front of her house, and he wears this weird combination of only beige.
Only beige.
And it's like cargo shorts over wide leg track pants.
Beige wide leg track pants.
Maybe he's in a cult, but like he still likes to go play volleyball.
Yeah. I think he is starting
That's how he recruits
a volleyball
him.
Cult.
Yeah.
It's a very disparate group of people.
Yeah.
They're not good at volleyball.
I mean, I'm actually quite intrigued now. So,
well, Katie
maybe
can show you where he hangs out.
Listen to how intrigued you are.
I know.
You're like, yeah. Well, like, what is this about?
What is his deal?
I'm just gonna put on my own beige on beige and just go check it out.
I've thought about going over and like just scoping it out.
Just wandering around,
figuring out what the deal is because it does not make sense.
Some covert operations.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Plant some spy devices in the trees around the volleyball court and see what it picks up.
I kind of want to get on there and
a drone. Outfit
Ooh,
on.
Yeah.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a summer version, like a linen, like coverlet, like that, like those ones that you make.
Yeah.
The Blanche Devereaux ones.
Yep.
And a wide brim hat and a wide leg hat.
And a wide leg hat. Sure. Go nuts. 2018.
I've been writing wide leg pant down a million times today. So it's
What are you up to? You got lots on the go right now. Again, time
too
warp.
Too much.
We're in a time warp, so
hopefully when this comes out, you'll have nothing.
When this comes out, I'm going to be on vacation.
Yes.
Well, kind of. I'm
still got shit to do.
I have two very special clients that I'm working with at home on something that I won't speak about because it's very secretive.
So top secret.
But it's happening in the summer, and it's an evening gown, so you guys can
figure it out
from there.
Yeah.
Right now I am absolutely up to the tits in fashion.
In tool.
Bullshit.
Yeah. You've got events going on, you've got fittings, you've got gowns, clothes.
I have a lot of pre-planning to do to hopefully save me myself some grief upon
arrival. Well,
that's good.
If you can plan ahead, that's good. Yeah.
It's like I'm trying to like reverse engineer all of my fashion show knowledge.
Your previous fuck ups?
Like all the previous fuck ups which you learn from.
Yes, absolutely. You can take forward, move
and
forward.
Like
with.
What that tactic worked, that one didn't. Don't leave hems. Don't leave four hems the day of the show because four hems are still four hems and that's just
on your fucking giant ass skirts.
And hems take forever.
Yeah.
Oh no, the giant ass skirts, they're the length they are, and
that's it.
That bitch is gonna wear higher heels or hold the front of the skirt up.
Yeah.
That's just what it's gonna be. But it's just like make this spreadsheet, make that list, save all these documents onto my computer in case there's no Wi-Fi. Like thinking ahead to all of these like and then I just realized today that I don't know what any of the shoes are going to be because the models are bringing their own shoes and I got a little panicked.
That's a big question mark.
I don't think I can do a pat another peep toe pump. That's just not what the vibe is this season.
You can do a hooker heel.
Oh, I could fully do a hooker heel.
Yeah.
100%.
Bring on the loose side.
I don't know, Madison. Like something about the word hooker makes me cringe a bit.
I was just about to say, like, come on, guys. We're going to be throwing
should we just say a loose side
like
heel?
There you go.
Yeah.
A gorgeous loose side heel. Mm. Yeah.
There you go.
This totally makes me. This reminds me of something that I was repeating to my roommates today that I have to share because it's totally unrelated to
Please
fashion.
Do.
But
half the show isn't.
It's yeah.
we talk about dicks.
My perfect.
Most of the time.
Not enough.
No, my roommate Kirsty was looking into getting buying a car for her work contract because she's working in California right now, and I mentioned a Volkswagen Cabriolet because I'm like, oh, they're so cute and they're so great. And she's like, oh, a little, and I love them, a little slut bucket. And we were all laughing and she repeated several times. And when she was when she called it a slut bucket again, she's like, sorry, pardon me, sexually empowered woman bucket.
Oh, there you go. That's better.
Ooh.
That's better.
That's nice. Take those words.
We bleeped a bloop here.
We bleeped a bloop on here. There we go. Oh, boy. We got too excited about the female empowerment bucket.
I love cabriolets, for the record.
Right?
And that was, I was saying that I love them too.
Maybe
my
when
roommate
it's a
Diana
girl thing,
was like, yeah, my roommate Diana was like, I love them too. And I was like, yeah, maybe they are slut
maybe
buckets.
Maybe it is the girl thing.
Madison, how do you feel about somebody referring to themselves as a slut, as a term of empowerment?
I think it's good. I think that I believe a lot in taking back power of, taking back the power with words. And I mean, I don't know. It kind of reminds me of in Mean Girls where Tina Fey says to them, you guys have got to stop calling each other sluts and whores because it just makes it okay for guys to call you sluts and whores. So it's kind of a mixed bag, but I personally feel like when I refer to myself that way, I think it's fine, but I don't like it when people refer to other people that way.
Sure, I'm
just
a
mess of
conversations.
I think that's pretty cut and dry.
I think you can make that decision for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Completely. Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Mm. Good question.
What else? I've just been thinking about that lately.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty willy-nilly with calling myself this, that, and the other thing, so... I just wonder if people kind of cringe when I refer to myself in those words.
I mean, I think it's subjective too, because slut isn't a word that makes me cringe, but there's definitely other words that, I mean, ones that I think of that do and don't make me cringe. I'm trying to think, but I know that for other people, they really cringe when they hear words like twat or cunt and stuff, and they don't bother me that much. But we also have a nickname for processed cheese in our house that we learned from Mendel. He calls it slatch. And everybody, we all love that word, slatch, but also we're all kind of I don't know, it kind of really just sounds like a dirty word. My roommate said it sounds like a cross between slut and snatch.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, shoot.
But I'm very surprised that there's processed cheese in your house.
Really?
Yeah.
But
everyone is so every time I've gone to your house, there's always been this platter of gorgeous organic foods and
no,
like
no, no, you're very
just
wrong.
Put it on
no,
for you, maybe. I don't
like,
know.
No, or, not organic. Like no,
or just like,
you
like
know
super...
how much Kraft dinner I've eaten in my lifetime, right? Like that is.
I mean, we went to fashion. We went to
school together.
School together.
Art school together. Yeah,
so
we went to school together.
Everyone eats.
No, well, Kirsty brought back from her last work contract in the States. They drove back, and so they had stopped at Costco, and Kirsty brought back. I think it was like a 5 kilogram, like vat of. Nacho cheese, and we're and like, I don't know why she brought
beautiful.
It back, but we were all like, we're all laughing, and we're all like, is it gonna be powder inside or is it gonna be liquid? Like, I don't know. And we finally opened it like a month ago, and it was liquid. It was more
sure.
like between liquid and solid, yeah. and
it was congealed.
It was
a
congealed.
Horrible.
And there was
solid.
So much of it, and we made like some mac and cheese with it, which was amazing when it was still hot.
Was
but
it,
when
like,
it started
Velveeta?
To cool, it like got really
no
like
good.
It was pretty, yeah. Pretty plasticky.
Yeah.
Anyways, it like lasted. It was just there was so much of it. And yesterday, I was proposing that we make nachos, or as I called them with that, slotchos. So
I love that.
It's pretty great. But I opened it up in the fridge, and it had started to go moldy, and we were
no.
all no,
oh
we
well,
were all,
we
were happy.
Like
that we were happy that era of our lives was over.
Move on.
So.
It freed you from it.
Yes,
it freed
yes.
you all.
Like this, like Homer Simpson and
the
sandwich.
Sub.
Yeah,
yeah.
The sub.
Yeah, yeah. When it goes, when it finally goes moldy, like it just, I had to.
It's time to
it just,
go.
It's
time
had to go. Sleeping with it. Yeah.
Oh man.
I honestly was like, oh my god, once it's open, I'm gonna have to like exercise self-control to not add it to absolutely everything.
Oh sure, just a little spoonful.
And I and yeah. somehow did really well.
You survived.
I forgot. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, too funny.
Didn't really think I'd be talking that much about processed cheese here. So.
Hey, man. Well, you're in a safe place.
We
roll
yeah.
with the punches here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is all good.
Abby, what's going on with you? You sound like you're fighting a cold.
Yes, I'm right at the end of it. I was thinking it was Madison. I was telling upstairs. I was like, I feel fine. I have a little bit of a cough.
You just have a sexy, raspy jazz voice.
Like, I feel fine until I start talking, and then...
Well, good thing we got a podcast.
Yes, yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, good thing we need to record a bunch of episodes. So yeah, I've been dealing with that and a bunch of sick kids and sick husband and got fucking just life to deal with. And it's a lot. I'm
yeah.
trying to do this.
Word.
And loving my...
Minus the kids.
My Tylenol cold sinus. Thank you very much.
Just for an extra cloud in your brain. That's
yeah, just
said.
Remove that extra cloud.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like actually breathe through my nose. Yeah, Tylenol cold and sinus and then breathe right strips.
Oh, I meant
I love
like
you so much.
Those sinus medications... Like make you kind of do like dopey.
Do they fuck you up?
They make you kind of dopey.
They don't make
great.
Me.
They're great.
Not this one.
Yeah.
Sometimes it makes me be able
it's
to breathe.
It's almost like taking like an Ativan sometimes for me. Like for the right ones, like the ones that don't make you drowsy, they just kind of make me feel like.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like the liquid like cough syrup stuff can be like pretty oozy.
I can't
take those.
Stand that shit.
Like
Buckley's or NyQuil or anything. I cannot stand it. I will only take like a pill of something for decongestant. And I feel like my brain is like mashed potatoes. And
yeah.
then I take one of these and I'm like human again.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like the cough syrup. Well, I have to be pretty sick.
Some
to scissor? Get
a
cough syrup though. Yeah. I'll have to be
pretty miserable.
Pretty bad. Pretty rough yeah. to take a cough syrup. But then like you get some sweet dreams on that stuff, which is always fun.
I'm just happy after having two kids and nursing and getting all that done with, I can finally take the good drugs again.
Right.
After
yes.
not for like 4 years or 3 years not being able to do it, I can do it now.
Yeah.
Taking them all. So I'm taking all the decongestants, taking all the weird shit.
Taking all those narcotics.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Sign me up.
Well, speaking of drugs, this is my time of year where I...
Oh, yeah, you need to step up your drug game.
Because I get really bad seasonal allergies, and I always have. I can't remember a time that I haven't. And a few years ago, my dad, who also suffers, was like, just go to the doctor and
tell
get a prescription for what, I forget what it's called, but it's like a steroid, like
nasal
spritz.
I have one of those.
And he's like, just get it. It's hardcore.
Use it when you need it.
But it is a game changer. And I was like, okay, that sounds extreme, but
I have one.
So
have
was
one.
Your misery.
Yeah, and
misery is pretty extreme when
yes.
you're not on it.
So I started, part of the thing with allergies is like getting ahead of it.
Oh, okay.
Because then you're just treating symptoms instead of stopping it
nipping
from
it
happening.
In the bud,
yeah.
sure.
So I started taking it as soon as I like started to feel a little bit of it coming on. And I've been smooth sailing, knock on wood.
Beautiful.
So far. But thank God. I mean, not, it hasn't been completely, completely a safe ride. Like,
no.
My eyes are always itchy at night. But
you did run into that fur coat at the.
Oh, yeah.
Nearly killed you.
We had this fur coat at our storage unit for work that nearly knocked me out completely. It was so bizarre. It was this old, I don't even know what kind of animal this thing
was. It was just in the locker and you were like, had to lean in front of it to grab something. And, oh man.
It was old and.
And dusty and furry. And, yeah.
Oh boy. But that's nice that I'm not dying.
There you go.
So thanks for drugs.
Thank you. Drugs.
Thank goodness.
Oh man.
I'm usually dead this time of year. But
thanks, big pharmaceutical.
Yeah, thanks.
Conglomerates.
Big pharma.
Yeah. That's what it is. Big pharma. Thanks, big pharma. Oh, man.
But.
Yeah.
Anyway, other than that, I've been going to the beach all the time, and my bike chain broke the other day, so I got a brand new bike chain. And
nice.
It's like a whole new bike.
Sweet.
Yes, so that's good. I'm ready.
Well, that's great. You ready for summer?
Mm-hmm.
Ready for June. It's around the corner.
Beige pants across the street. I got a new bike.
Sunshine.
Barbecue.
Yeah.
Good to go. Aaron. I got hard drugs.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go.
You got wine, you got hard drugs, everything's great.
I'm ready to need. So we are here with Madison. You started this little, I guess, business?
Brand?
I don't know how you want to, yeah, brand called Only Child Apparel. You started that pretty soon after, I feel like it was pretty soon after school that you started that.
I started thinking about it in about a year after school. And then I like opened up my Etsy shop about a year and a half after school, so in December of 2013. So
it's been like five years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
almost.
It's been a while now.
Amazing.
I know. It's crazy. So
tell us about where you got inspired to start that, mm-hmm. and because lots of it has been t-shirts and graphic design and graphic t-shirts and that kind of thing. So tell us about
mm-hmm.
how you got that all motoring and all that kind of shit. We love to hear that a lot. Stuff, how that starts, because you don't hear a lot about
that's
that.
That's the hard part.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
Yeah.
Or one of the hard parts.
So I studied graphic design at VCAD, and upon graduating, it became quite challenging to find a paying, full-time job.
Oh, weird.
I know.
Interesting.
It was, heard that. I know. I don't know if you guys, know what this feels like, but... So while I was still struggling and still trying to find some sort of employment, I decided that, well, if I'm not going to get paid to do graphic design, then maybe I will just try doing volunteer work and see how that goes. And I know that it's often quite frowned upon to do work for free, but I just kind of looked online to find a nonprofit that would benefit from my skills. And then that's when I found WAVA, which is Women Against Violence Against Women. And it is a rape crisis center in Vancouver, BC. They have a rape crisis line that services throughout the Lower Mainland. It is an intersectional feminist organization, meaning that they also do services for trans individuals and non-binary two-spirit people. And they were looking for a graphic designer. And so I just sent them an email one day, and I heard back and I got called in to do an interview. And I guess they do interviews for just about anybody that either volunteers or works for your organization to make sure that their values align with the organization.
Right.
You can't pretty just important. Blindly bring somebody in. So I interviewed with the volunteer coordinator, and and then so I got brought on to just kind of help. Doing just kind of small, fun little jobs for them. And it's over now. It's actually going on. That was, I guess, the summer of 2012 when I had reached out to them. And I am still occasionally doing work for them to this day.
That's great.
All right.
Yeah. So that was kind of my little gateway into feminism then, because I specifically chose them because I'd always had an interest in feminism and I feel that it's something that I care deeply about. Mostly for the idea of, it sounds so funny to say these things now because I feel like my vocabulary has evolved, but basically how I saw it then was I support women and I believe in women's rights. So this is a thing that I want to go do.
Sure.
And that's kind
of... So you just dive straight into a rape crisis center. It seems like...
Well, I don't answer the crisis line, but...
the good people who work there do.
Oh, yeah.
My God.
There you go.
God bless those people. Good God.
Yeah. Oh. I don't know. They also do, like, hospital accompaniment and, court accompaniment
really?
As well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow, that can be challenging.
Intense. Oh, boy.
Yeah. So that was kind of like the one half of my story. The other half is when I did finally get employment, it was at Bang On T-shirts. And...
So they do like screen printed T-shirts and stuff.
Me and Madison were coworkers there for a short time.
Yeah.
So I got hired at Bang On's head office initially as an office assistant, and after
good old administrative work to pay the bills.
Yeah,
that kept me alive in my 20s.
Yeah, 20 hours a week for $12 an hour. So we were like kind of paying the rent now.
Yeah.
It was good. Yeah. And I started off there just doing like office work, and eventually the graphic designer for custom sales ended up leaving the company for a different job. And so I took over her position, but also kept the one that I had before because it's just a little bit easier when you get two people to do the same job. It turns out you can save some money.
Oh, who knew? Especially you don't have to train anybody new.
Yeah. You save a little bit
of
money.
Or pay for a whole other person.
Yeah. So now I was now getting paid to do some graphic design work, and I ended up doing orders for like wholesale, for like larger quantities, for like events where people were getting like all the same design and everything. And so I spent a lot of time like ordering apparel and seeing how much things cost.
How many bachelorette party t-shirts did you have to do?
Not as many as you'd think.
Okay.
I'm going to say over 2 years, maybe about like... 5 or 6.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad.
All right.
Okay.
Like sports teams and corporate things.
Like sports teams, I'm going to say, like, not that many of those either, but mostly like corporate stuff or like when you got your fucking team of like,
yeah. Dragon Boat Racing.
That too. But I was thinking more like, oh, like here's our boring corporate team that we're going to have walking in the Pride Parade and we're all going to wear these stuffed t-shirts.
Design work you're doing there, yeah.
And I'm trying to remember like some of the finest pieces. But I think because my role, like nobody really came in with crazy or like weird stuff for like these bulk orders. I think that was more usually like set for the stores. But basically, while I was working there and I was getting more experience, like just working in, the custom t-shirt business or just t-shirts in general and graphic tees, I started to think about how at the time, this is all the way back in 2013, there were no like feminist apparel like companies out there. And every time that I thought of a shirt that was like pro-feminism, it would be on a website like Zazzle or like something else that had like some blinged out, like
some
curly
shit on it. Yeah.
Right.
Mostly more like sexist than actually feminist.
A
like
joke.
Just,
yeah.
So I was like, I should like.
There you go. There's nobody doing this. So.
It. Yeah.
You had some such good ones. You have really good, like your Girl Gang shirt is so great. I love that. Graphic, yeah. It's like it reminds me of the Goonies. I don't know why that font reminds me of the Goonies.
It kind of, like, I guess you're right. It does have like a Goonies kind of look to it.
Yeah, I really like that one.
We'll be posting links to Madison's
shop
and everything.
Yes, yeah. Of course.
My very first shirt was my Patrick Stewart shirt, the Feminism is Sexy one. I think I sold a total of 6 of those in total, overall. It wasn't very popular. And also, like, as soon as you put the shirt on your body, his face kind of, like, warps if you have boobs and stuff. it wasn't well thought out.
Sure.
And,
you live and you learn.
There's so many things that I've learned since I opened this company. Like, it's like my perception now versus 5 years ago, not just on owning a quote unquote feminist apparel business, but also just on the relationship with feminism and fashion. Like, it's quite.
And it has changed a lot since you started.
Things have changed so much. And I just want to go on the record to say that I was one of the first people to be doing this.
Absolutely.
I did not jump on the bandwagon because it became popular. It was just something that I felt like you were always it was doing. Trying to appeal to that niche.
Yeah,
market,
and no one was doing it.
Nobody was doing it.
And now there's this. I'm
you can't
curious.
Throw a rock and not hit some bullshit t-shirt.
Well, I'm curious about this.
And like
now,
you
yeah.
like took the rocks at the beginning. Like I remember some horror stories of the shit you had to go through.
Oh,
when
God.
People
messaging you.
But I got to say, like, it wasn't. I was really scared at the beginning to launch my business. Like, I was really, yeah, like, I was just, like, because I'm, like, an introverted, like, socially anxious person. And I'm, like, why am I doing this? Like, why am I putting myself out there? Like, especially about, like, a very, like polarizing topic, too. Yeah. That'll get people, like, riled up. But then, like, I opened my shop and then, like, nothing bad happened. And then in the early days, I really tried to like market myself through Twitter, and I don't recommend ever doing that for like any feminist ever. Just don't. Just stay
away
from
certainly not
there.
Now, 2018.
It's really easy for the trolls to hide and lurk on Twitter.
Well, yeah, because all they do is just search the feminism hashtag. And what I fucking hate about Twitter is like when somebody like harasses you or like somebody is like tweeted something shitty at you, you can't delete their fucking tweet. Like it still exists like mm-hmm. forever. But yeah. at least on Instagram, somebody wastes 5 minutes of their life writing some shitty like trolly like bullshit comment, and then you just don't even have to read it and you just immediately delete it. Like that
feels
really
good.
That's
yeah.
nice.
Yeah.
And who needs that shit in their lives anyways?
Yeah.
Get rid of it. Yeah, that is a bummer about Twitter.
Yeah, so hey, Twitter.
Go back to 4chan, you trolls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah. But having said all that, I also feel like Twitter, I'm trying to think of, there has been like some good experiences, but yeah, I have been harassed enough on there. I'm trying to think of like one of my other little like talking points because I was trying to. I had planned out in my mind like kind of like the narrative of like where my mindset was when I started right. and then like how it changed over time.
Virgo one.
I'm a Leo.
I thought you were Virgo.
With that hair, she's a Leo.
You're a Leo.
I'm a Virgo girl.
Oh, well, you're like right on the cusp.
I'm on the cusp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I'm a fucking
who's
Leo.
Who's being a Virgo now with your notes?
are they like really like organized?
Oh, yeah. Very much.
Very
so.
Anal. Very yeah. nice.
I'm notorious for not writing down shit when we do this podcast.
I'm curious though. I have a question for you.
Okay.
How do you think, like, two-part question. First, have you noticed that your business has changed with this, like, quote unquote trend of feminism in the last ooh. Even 3 years?
Barf. Yeah.
And no, part
I'll go,
two.
I'll get into the trend part.
Is what are you, it, do you think this is a trend? Is it bad that if it is a trend? How, well, I'm just curious what you, what, how you feel about that being like right up in it. In mm-hmm. the, and I hesitate to call it a trend because it feels icky.
Use the word.
No, it but that is yeah. the word. Yes. It's hot.
Yeah.
It's hot, but it's also like, is this something that we should celebrate or is this something that we should feel icky about?
Okay. So to answer your first question, like, has this affected my business? Yes. My business has, my sales have dropped dramatically in the last
really?
Like year and a half. Yeah. Like significantly. I mean, maybe like some of that attributes to not getting enough new content and like cycling it through enough. But I think because the market is really heavily saturated
yeah.
now. And do I think it like it definitely is a trend. Like it is hot and corporations and other big businesses have like picked up on that. Mm-hmm. And they're ready to like capitalize on it and take whatever they can get.
And rip artists off left, right, and center.
And rip artists off, yeah. And I definitely have more to say on that as well.
And just so turn a buck
so
for it.
I don't know if it's good for feminism because the way I used to, 5 years ago, I was like, I'm a fucking feminist. Like, I'm out and proud. Like, this is who I am. And like, that makes you uncomfortable, and, but like this is what I believe. And now the word is so watered down.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
It's so watered down now with like all these like clickbait headlines online that are just like this fucking dog here that's like doing whatever is the feminist hero you need today. And like, and I'm just like words have no meaning. Like they have no meaning anymore. And so
a bunch
feel,
of dudes are ruining it for everybody.
Yeah. And
talking
I guess
about
like
feminism. and how bullshit it is.
Well, yeah, and I think that feminine, when you used to...
Mind you, women are also ruining it too, so I don't think you're cutting you any slack either, yeah. Women. You fucking suck too sometimes.
It's right, Abby.
Just to be, I mean, equal opportunity.
No, it's true. It's true.
Telling equality people to fuck off.
Equality for all.
We can it's equally true. Say I definitely, that you are equally shitty.
Yes. Yeah, there's lots of people I can't stand.
Let's talk about them.
But I, yeah,
individuals and groups alike.
But I think that a word, the word, that particular word used to invoke like hostility and make people think of like, you know, like the stereotypical like angry, hairy, whatever,
man-hating,
feminist. But now I think that when people hear the word feminist, they're thinking like, oh, bandwagon, like, oh, yeah. Like watered down, like girl
still,
power.
Still man-haters, though.
Still
man-haters.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So I don't know. In the end, I don't really even know if it's doing that much good for it because, like, if it's a trend, that means it won't be trendy again, and it will probably get pushed aside. And
sure,
probably
call us in 30 years.
It'll
when
be
it's
pushed back.
Back
on the word, and then there's like more work to do again, and we have to like kind of start over. But I think what I'm kind of learning,
fifth wave feminism.
Yeah, I think what I'm kind of learning now is I'm focusing less on the word itself and just more on my actions. And I still think that they align with feminism, but I just feel a little bit less compelled to just like throw the word around because I'm just tired of hearing it.
I'm running around downtown and I look in the window of an H&M or an Urban Outfitters and I see a t-shirt that's like a chic like drapey moment. And then it just says feminist on the front. It doesn't mean anything.
No, it's
when
literally
a conglomerate
meaningless.
Run by men is making money off of the feminist movement.
It's completely meaningless because even if you are the person wearing it, like they want to believe that they're bringing awareness to feminism. But this is the tricky part. And this is what I've learned with my small business and everything is like trying to learn how capitalism and feminism can coexist because that particular shirt from H&M, like, is from a corporation that is owned by men, like men on the board. The clothing is made in sweatshops with like appalling conditions, where somebody
mostly
like,
by
people
women
died,
by women,
almost exclusively by women.
80% of whatever garment workers are women, at least.
Yeah. And that's kind of like the sum of it. And I have to admit that when I started my business, like those weren't really things that I knew so much about because I still think I was quite new to embracing this movement. And when I started my business, I said to myself, like, I want to help. I don't want to say rebrand it because I don't want to, like, it just makes me sound so like contributing
so
to fashion-y. This. But like, unfortunately, like, I wanted to give it like a nudge in like a more modern like direction, but there were things that I wasn't really that aware of when I started it, and like that includes things like being inclusive of more sizes, because like how often over the last 4 years that every now and then somebody sends me a message and says like I wish you could supply things that are larger than 2XL because mm-hmm. I'm missing out on this entire demographic of people. And you know, part of, and it really does matter to me. Like, I do care a lot about having, like, living in a more inclusive society and not ignoring and not casting aside people that aren't always, like, marketed to through fashion.
I'm trying to think of the answer. Well, it's tough to sort of, it's when you start out, it's tough to know what you don't know already.
Yeah.
Like, when you're new at anything. So, things like sizes and like you're coming at it from a graphic design perspective and from a women's rights perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So things like the size of a shirt might not be immediately apparent.
Also, you didn't have a buttload of money to start out with.
Sure, you can't buy every size and make every shirt and every size, you know, like.
Yeah. I'm trying to forgive myself, as the years go on, because I'm always like, like, oh shit, like I didn't know this and I didn't know this. But basically, like to summarize what I've learned from this experience was there's significantly more to showing your support for feminism than just wearing a shirt. I'm trying to think.
Well, I think you said it really well when you said that just wearing a thing and buying a thing is...
It really doesn't do anything.
Yeah. It's lip service, right?
Well, listen, you can buy a t-shirt that says feminist on it, or you can buy a blank shirt from someone like you or some other women's operated and owned company. Mm-hmm. And that is probably more of a feminist statement than the fucking shirt that says
it
feminist.
It is. Yeah. And I think,
you know...
So there's a couple of, like, there, oh man, there's so much on this topic that I had been thinking about.
Let's get into it.
So a couple of things that I always think about when I think about, like, how to be, like, a feminist-minded or more, like...
Like you say, to marry capitalism and feminism, right? Yeah. To find ways that these two will work together in concrete ways that you're comfortable with. On a moral level, on a financial level,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, it was just to be more conscious consumer,
yeah,
and
that's something we talk a lot about on the show. We talked about it last episode,
because that's like for like millennials, like this is our existence right now. Is like we were like back in the 80s when like our parents and like previous generations were just fucking up the planet and just
buying stuff and
all
throwing
the plastic
it out left, right,
and just
center.
Throwing it on the street and like just burning
smoking
tires
cigarettes.
And they're they're just like fuck future generations. And our generation is so conscious of like our impact on the planet, and I do spend a lot of time now thinking about how fashion is like the second most polluting industry in the world, or more specifically fast fashion, and how to like be a more conscious consumer and like how to shop as a feminist. And one of the major things is supporting smaller businesses or like sustainably made or locally made types of clothing. Another thing, and so that seriously does... I just feel like every time I start to get aware of my words, and then I'm like, it's a good thing that we're not live. Just like,
well, I think it's tough too when you like talking about, as you say, like the marriage of feminism and capitalism is always going to be on dicey ground because
there's
going to
be at odds on some level.
Well, capitalism is inherently a male
anti-feminist
system. It's an anti-feminist system,
yeah,
by its inception, by its very nature.
Created by men for the betterment of men.
And I think one thing I wrestled with a lot too is once I started
on the backs
to become
of women.
Largely, yeah.
Yeah.
Capitalism also has a lot to do with class and race as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which is to bring intersectionality into
and like yeah. and down yeah, absolutely. And then we can start and yeah. then once I went down the line we can start talking about how it's become very high fashion as well.
Looking at you, Dior. Was
yeah,
it Dior?
Exactly.
The fucking stupid t-shirts.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, we will, yeah, we like will I, get into that. That.
Oh, man.
Not to mention the clothes are fucking boring.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The clothes are not great.
I'm just trying to pick
that whole shirts thing. I mean, just on devil's advocate, if I'm of a mixed mind of this because...
Understandably so.
Because, like, the whole pussy hat thing and the whole... I mean, there's... Problems on both
There's
sides
problem,
of the pussy hat
yeah.
thing. I personally didn't really have a problem with it. I think you can...
Someone with a pink pussy.
I think you should... I mean, that's me.
You're talking... I'm looking
You're
at
talking
one.
About me, right? Like, yeah. So I think it's... I think it's allowable to have... Or forgivable for women to want to celebrate the fact that because they have that... body part that they could include themselves in that
yeah, movement or whatever, sure.
Maybe they're, you know, victims of sexual assault. Maybe, I mean, who knows?
Whatever. Yeah.
I don't think you can exclude people from celebrating a thing that they want to celebrate in that way.
Yes.
I think when you exclude people from that deliberately, I think that's where you get into some real problems. But I think putting a pussy hat on your head does not exclude people from celebrating that who maybe
in
their own ways. I don't think... I know that's controversial because there's trans women who don't have that and who see that as
a woman of color or whatever. Yeah, sure.
Again, that's not the hill that I will choose to die on. Yeah. I have other hills that I'd rather die on.
Yeah.
And I absolutely can see both sides of that. As for the t-shirt thing, the whole we should all be feminists, or we should all
futures
be Miranda's,
female or whatever, female,
that kind of stuff.
I have an which is also a I have an interesting. I was just about to say that. I'm like, oh, I have an interesting anecdote about the Futures Female shirts. Because there's actually, because there's two parts to it. Because that shirt originally, that design originated in the 1970s, and there was this feminist activist, and there's this picture of her. I can't remember her name right now.
San Francisco.
Talking about, and she's,
Google it. We can do all the work.
Yeah, the picture is.
Yeah, this
so
woman's
cool.
wearing the shirt. Well, I'll wait until we can just splice in her name. So.
You just keep talking, and I'll
just keep talking. So there's this woman from the 1970s, and she's an activist, and she's wearing the shirt. And a graphic designer of today, who's around the same age as me, had reached out to her and wanted to recreate the Futures Female t-shirts. And the woman gave her permission to do so, and she made some of the shirts. They became extremely popular. I think a couple of celebrities wore them, and then Cara Delevingne ended up ripping off the design entirely and just started selling them on her own as her own line
Trash.
Of shirts. Which
Trash.
Is absolute
Ugh, that's
bullshit.
Gross.
Oh, boop. It was for a bookstore in New York City called Labrys Books. And photographer Lisa Cowan took a picture of the musician Alex Dobkin, her girlfriend at the time, wearing it in 1975.
So there you go.
The photograph was done for a slideshow she was working on called What Well-Dressed Dykes Will Wear.
Oh, I love it. All of it.
That's great.
And now you can buy it for $30 USD. On a bunch of sites.
On a bunch of sites because it's being recreated
at least these,
everywhere.
At least these
all over
people
the internet.
Are like acknowledging
that. Bubble Gurung ripped the same shirt off.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, no,
it's
been
on a runway and stuff.
So this is the art getting ripped off is a subject matter that I'm quite sensitive about.
Sure. As someone who's experienced it directly.
Also, yes. I have had my stuff ripped off.
Victoria Beckham ripped off one of my dresses.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I remember
He's
that.
Convinced. I'm convinced.
You're convinced.
I talk
possible.
Too much about her on the internet for her and me not to pop up somewhere.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Excuse me. But yeah, you had one of your designs
I did.
Stolen.
I did. I recently had, this is very recent, it was like 3 or 4 months ago, I was Googling myself, essentially. I was going down memory lane, and I was thinking about the first year that I was at a design school. I got really into inspirational quotes, more, again, ones that were on the female empowerment. And I found a quote that was from Anita Sarkeesian, and I just made a crappy little typographic image and just posted it on Pinterest, and it links back to my site. And that was that. And then it existed for the last 5 or 6 years. And I was thinking about it recently. I think it was around International Women's Day, because I was also thinking about a Maya Angelou quote that I had done the same with. But I always see this particular quote turn up on like Pinterest and on Instagram often, like typically around an International Women's Day. So I was thinking about like, oh, I'm going to look up the other graphics that I had made. And so I looked up the Anita Sarkeesian one, and I saw the graphic turn up in the first few image results. And then a couple after that, I just saw the graphic itself on a t-shirt, and I was like, what the fuck? And I looked at it, and it was on a anti-fascist apparel website that's all user-submitted. So essentially, anybody can open an account and upload their graphics to it, and then the company like produces and sells the shirts. So I was quite pissed off and found it quite ironic that my anti-patriarchy quote shirt was ripping off from a female artist and somebody was making a profit off of it.
Oh, boy. And the irony is not lost.
Yes. So I just wrote them a sternly worded but relatively polite email just saying, like, I find it a bit appalling and ironic that you were selling this item. And they wrote back pretty quickly to say that they had no idea and they apologized and they removed the shirt. So
good for them.
But I wasn't mad at the website itself. I was mad at whoever this person was.
Some jackass
took the graphic and just uploaded it. And then the irony was they removed Anita's name from the bottom of the quote.
Oh,
so it kind of takes
loud.
Away the power of her words.
Oh gosh.
But this is actually a really sensitive topic for me, just because I understand that, like, in our social media age, that when we put something on the internet, it just, it, anybody has access to it, and like anybody can get a hold of it. And
it just exists.
Copyright, yeah. And like all these laws are like, they can be very complicated, especially like when things get like manipulated to look different from the original.
Sure, they're very outdated too, or haven't caught up.
Yeah, and I read an article a couple months ago that was about, it was dedicated to three different women artists, and they had designed some posters that were released close to the Women's March last year. And one of them, again, can't remember her name, but she designed the image that we see quite often that's like has a pink background and has like the three fists going up, the three different colors. Yeah. Uh-huh. She designed that like just before the Women's March last year. She like put it online so that people could download it and print it and like use the posters. And now that graphic is literally
everywhere.
I saw everything.
There's a fucking Give Blood banner on Oak and King Ed. With the same, except they're pointing down as if you're giving blood, but it's a pink background with three different arms and three different skin tones.
Wow.
Like, never done. I'm like, oh, it's that thing, but not.
Flipped upside down.
Yeah.
In a different context.
And ripped off.
Yeah. And people have to
be. Oh, man.
If you're, like, people have to be really wary of where they're buying their clothes from and where they're buying the stuff on the internet. And this is so common. How often you just see, like, you see an iconic phrase or like an iconic graphic turn up, and then you see it on like some other fucking random website, and you're like, I don't know who this is, but it's probably like this, they're probably not the ones that created this. And sites like Society6 and Redbubble, like ones that are just user uploaded, like they're like rampant with
theft. It's just ripoff all the time.
And so this would be, if you were, my tip for anybody that wants to be a more conscious consumer is that if you are buying something that has a graphic or a piece of art, then maybe you should look up the background and history to that so that you can actually find out who designed it. And then maybe you can support the actual designer and buy it from them.
And also, if you see something that's been ripped off, say something.
Yeah.
That happened recently. It was a Target t-shirt with a gay flag that was like draped over the flagpole and stuff. And it was ripped off of some
queer Mexican artists,
and they pulled it all in stages. People were still finding them a couple of weeks later. But say something, So, because unfortunately, God bless.
Diet Prada brought it to light.
God bless you, Diet Prada. You are a savior. You are the best.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't been as articulate as I wanted.
Are you kidding me?
No, we're gonna have to wipe the whole
thing. Are you sure you're not a Virgo?
No, you're great.
No,
you're so great.
I was due to be born in September, so you just came a little bit early.
Maybe
interesting.
Maybe your rising is Virgo.
I don't know what that means. So I'm basking in this attention that you guys are giving me right now.
Yeah.
You're all looking at me and listening to what I have to say.
And you're delivering.
And I'm delivering. Yeah.
Mm. Well, should we talk about mention the high fashion part?
Let's talk about that.
Because it's happening.
For example, Karl Lagerfeld staging a whole runway protest on his.
Where every outfit is like $15,000.
Yeah.
It was like
and this guy had some supremely shitty things to say about the Me Too movement too. So that's
and also
real
about
rich.
Women who aren't a sample size. And
exactly. What feminist statement are you making when you're still having size zero women?
The marketing department made that statement, not Carl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Carl didn't do
it. I don't really care, but
they're all part of like the same kind of conglomerate.
The big machine.
You know, like the amount of money and resources and talent that a house like Chanel can harness, and they put out
the amount of people that have to say yes to that.
Yes, exactly.
For it to go through and actually happen in real life. Yeah.
And they fuck up so royally.
So bad.
So consistently. And it's just like, mind-boggling.
Must be tunnel vision in a place like that.
But it is. That's exactly
with
it.
Everyone's surrounded by yes men, right?
Yeah.
And again, like words have no meaning now. So they're like, this feminism
whatever.
Is hot. Let's put it on a
slap
shirt
it on.
And like make people pay $15,000 for
we
it.
We won't
and, like,
be seen as current
let's not,
if we don't
let's
jump
not,
on the feminist
let's
movement.
Let's not embody anything by like... Yeah, by putting any like people of color or any like actual like broader sizes or... showing somebody, yeah, like just anything.
People that
like,
don't fit the European standard
of
beauty.
Yeah, people that don't fit the, yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And this is why, like, I'm a little bit skeptical. It makes me skeptical about how
rightly
how hot
so.
It is. It's
so rightly hard. So. I think, yeah, that's generally how I feel about it, too.
Yeah.
But my like, hopeful silver lining is that if this comes along at a time where younger girls or girls who are impressionable in fashion and who are paying attention to those kinds of trends, if this triggers something for them that makes them want to, you know, sign up for a feminist magazine or
sure, read something, start do something, talk to somebody.
You know, if there's, or God forbid, men would help out with all
oh,
of this
for
too.
I mean, loud.
If any of this kind of resonates with people in this moment where it has the most like eyes on it, the most, mm-hmm. the
and
brightest spotlight.
Well, that's the thing too.
If that, you know, stirs the pot, then it will probably be all right.
What direction is it going to stir the pot in?
Well,
what ingredients are being put in that pot?
We're
that's
looking,
the question.
And we're looking at it right now. We're looking at it from the producer's point of view, right? Like what are the designers doing? But looking at it from the consumer's point of view, especially here in North America, where this is a very important topic, I know it's less so in other parts of the world. Mm. But it's very, very much the zeitgeist of the moment. I see people wearing these shirts with some sort of motto or quote or graphic something, and they feel good and they feel seen and they feel heard, and you can find like-minded people.
You can share it on Instagram.
You can walk into a room and say, that lady's probably going to be pretty cool. We'll have something to talk about.
You just summed up like my entire vision of like when I started my business.
Yeah.
It was exactly that. It was just to put something out there and when you go to meet somebody and they can see you and be like, you're all
right. How many fucking
like,
Trump bumper
care.
Stickers do Americans have to look at? You can have I only fuck feminist t-shirt on and,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But only child apparel on SA.com.
And just consumers just need to be more critical about where they're getting it.
Yeah.
And like a $15 shirt at Forever 21 or Zara seems like a great idea, but
and also because you probably can't afford the $700 Prabhagurung one.
But why would you buy that?
Yeah.
Why would you buy that?
Yeah, a $700
like,
feminist
is it $700
is
like that going?
Don't buy the $5 one from Walmart. Don't buy the $900 one from who knows whatever month.
Dior or Prabal.
Buy one from someone like Madison or some other small business.
Yeah. I've written my like 4 points for being a feminist consumer, and it was buying local, supporting small businesses, women owned businesses, minorities, like minority artists,
people of color, women of color.
Yeah. Purchasing clothes that are ethically made or secondhand and making sure that what you're purchasing doesn't contain any stolen artwork.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's something we haven't really talked about on a lot of our points.
Yeah.
That is a good
one. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And with Google reverse image search these days,
you
can figure it out pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. You can do some digital Carmen Sandiego-ing.
How do you do that? Tell me about that. What does that mean?
Dave showed me.
I'm gonna learn you.
Forget.
But I totally
Google reverse Google image.
Okay.
Make Google reverse image for
me. There we go. It's so hard. Right now, speaking of trends, there's such a huge trend of just graphic motivational imagery on Instagram and on Pinterest. Facebook.
God, yeah.
Facebook has a dumb app where you can just
breathe.
Fucking do it. Like, it's crazy.
Barf.
So
it's super
so
deep. Lindsay Lohan got it tattooed on her wrist in white ink to remind her to breathe.
Okay.
Like, I don't know, 10 years ago. I remember hearing about that. Back when Lindsay Lohan was something people were talking about.
Although I do love Lindsay Lohan. Lindsay Lohan was my like high school beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
In many ways, Lindsay Lohan is just, I don't know, like, she was just, like, I don't know, at that time, she was just, like, so unlike any of the other, like, Disney girls.
Yeah.
Well, by the time you were in high school, like, she definitely shed her, like, Disney image.
Oh, I had the greatest
That was when
poster.
She was probably dating Samantha Ronson.
We were in school when she was dating Samantha Ronson, wasn't she?
I don't know.
I can't fucking remember.
Do not ask
shit
me.
That was like almost
I mean, there's
years.
There's a lot of subscribe almost 10 years ago.
I mean, I almost graduated.
Rounding up.
It's like, yeah, it's 2 years until my 10-year high school reunion.
Okay.
So, and I went to design school like months
right after.
After.
Instantly.
Yeah, we started months after I graduated. I had this poster of Lindsay Lohan where she was naked, but she had a guitar upside down. So like the stem of the guitar was like between her legs, and she had like the body of the guitar covering
sexy.
The bust. And she had the greatest like red like Brigitte Bardot hair and like a winged eye. And it was so glam. And the background was pink. And I loved it for so
How
many
days. Glam?
It's so glam.
Glam.
It's so glam.
That is white trash.
That is glamour.
Naked with a guitar?
Oh, that is glamour, darling. Are you kidding me with the Brigitte Bardot hair? Those references?
I mean, Brigitte Bardot,
I feel like
yes,
I gotta say, like,
know.
You're only reacting that way because of who's modeling. If it was somebody
if
else.
If Herb Ritz photographed that.
You'd be like, oh my God.
But a
that's
poster?
Glamour. Oh, it's a, yeah, the poster makes it trashy.
Mean, if this was in a, like, a magazine that was, you know, more than $6 on the rack at fucking
what is art, Mart? Katie? What makes art?
Yeah. Let's get Doug back on. Let's talk about what is art? What do we know?
I think, like, can a Play-Doh...
Who are you to say?
I think the Play-Doh thing that Margot made in the last month probably is a piece of art.
Sure.
It had follow through. It had a concept. It had line and form and color. And
yeah, she did a bunch of weird rejects before she got to that.
Oh yeah, she. Tangent. If you're playing the drinking game, it's time to drink.
Drink.
Oh shit.
What are you looking
at? High fashion feminism.
I'm trying to find that picture of Lindsay Lohan.
Ah,
I can't find it.
It's probably from like a promo photo shoot she did around that time of Speak, her
album,
her sophomore album.
Yes.
Is it one of those ones that would be like the tarot?
It would be fully, no, it was fully from like, you got it rolled up in plastic from Walmart. Like, in like,
oh my
you
God,
know.
It's that big.
It's that big. It was massive.
Good God.
Yeah.
That's a bold choice.
Oh, I needed it. It was so glamour. I mean, like, anyone look at my Instagram and you can see the reasons why I would love an image like that.
Oh, man. It's definitely.
The sexuality, the
it's
glamour.
It's definitely checking off a
I'd
bunch
probably
of
put
boxes.
That poster on my wall. Sounds like it.
You oh, would?
Boy. Maybe. It's glamorous.
It's glamour.
It's glamour. Glam.
This word glamour.
I think
I mean,
had, like,
it's
a
like
pink,
if
sparkly
the
background.
The next best thing would be a
pink sparkles. Glamour.
The next best
Nudity.
Thing would be a picture
glamour.
Of me.
Glamour.
But we all know words are meaningless now, so. I mean, who knows?
I don't know. I think, like, a sensuality and glitter and all of these things has a certain glamour about it, like a Marilyn Monroe.
I think
Jason
they're just
glamour.
Laughing. They're just laughing because you
because I'm so excited
it
about
no,
it.
No, they're just laughing that it's Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, who is talking about it?
I think it's
who
funny
it
that
is?
I think it's funny that like 12-year-old gay as hell me in
yes!
the middle of nowhere
yes. in fucking bumfuck
yes.
Manitoba.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
One of the most beautiful places I've ever been to.
Of course,
I'm very
not
much
to disparage
to
East Bumfuck Manitoba,
but it is in the middle of nowhere. Like literally, there's one road in, one road out of the town. Don't get anybody angry because we know where to find you. We'll just be sitting at the end of the road.
Waiting for you.
The road. Waiting for you. You're going to have to hoof it over the lake or you're going to try and go through the marsh.
Don't run into that ghost guy's running wandering around.
Oh, God, bitch.
What ghost guy?
Do you remember the ghost guy in this
we
town?
We might have talked about this like
we did
after
a long
episode.
Time ago.
Are we going to talk about the ghost?
There's a ghost in his town that people run into. And,
to Clue.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Oh, man. I do. Chih? I absolutely remember because it is fucked up.
I don't know what the clue means, but I know Chih means little. He was a very small man.
Okay.
But in Machif, Chih means small.
Okay.
It's like pitchy, like pity.
Yeah,
so you
sure.
can, like a lot of French words were really pushed, like
they're derivations
down,
of it, sure, yeah.
And
yeah.
then you mix that with a Cree accent or an Ojibwe
Who
accent.
Who knows what?
God
yeah.
knows how this language created itself. It's stunning.
This is our last tangent before our obsessions.
Yes.
Let's finish this up.
Okay, this ghost.
I love a good ghost story so much.
Oh my God, we're like completely off of the topic now. Madison's reaching for a snack.
Yeah, there you go. Sit back.
Like opening the popcorn.
Okay, but there is this, there's, well, in like folklore in general, the crossroad of two dirt roads is supposed to be a portal to hell.
Yes.
Okay, sure.
Robert Johnson.
The route that my bus would take every day for 12 years to school, we'd have to go to this corner, and that was where Chiklu's house was. He lived on the corner of these two crossroads. And, I mean, there's dirt roads hither and thither and
all over the place.
And yon, where I come from. And there's very few crossroads of two dirt roads.
Gotcha.
So we had to cross by this place, and it was really fucking creepy, especially like early in the morning when it was still dark out in the winter.
Yeah. And it's only one house.
And it was like a shack.
Oof, spooky. Yeah,
it was literally like it's like those like pioneer houses, like fully shack where you can see right through it, like through the windows, and all the glass is shattered, and there's graffiti and like all that stuff. Oof. Okay, but Chicxulub, there's all of these stories. I'm going to tell one because there's like literally like dozens of them, because everyone talks about this man. He lived, I'd say a horse ride away from where I was raised, because back in the day people would ride horses around and buggies and all that stuff. He'd come into the town, and he'd come to dances, and he'd play cards, and he'd go to the store, and he'd like go and drink with like a lot of my older uncles in my family. And one of my uncles, my Uncle Goose, my Uncle Floyd, would tell — all of my uncles have nicknames, by the way.
Uncle Goose might be my favorite thing you've ever said.
Really? So my Uncle Goose tells a story of one night he was coming back from the town that my Pepe is from. It's called Saint-Laurent. I'm from St. Ambrose. Everything is named after a saint because of Catholicism.
It's French and
colonialism
and
bullshit. Yeah. But they're driving home, and they just went to the bar and picked up a 2-4 of whiskey or 2-6 of whiskey and a case of beer and food and whatever, because they were going to have a party. And there was a party in St. Ambrose. And they see Chicxulub on the side of the road, and they're like, oh, are you heading to St. Ambrose? Do you need a ride? And he's like, oh, no, I'll meet you there. So they all get to the party, and that man is sitting in the hall with a drink.
He's been there long enough to like settle in and get
and
a drink.
They're in a car, and he's walking on the side of the road. He is there.
Ooh. That's a spooky scary.
To get it even better. He would go into the store in St. Ambrose and he'd pay for stuff with money, and then they'd look in the cash register at the end of the day, and it would be like rocks and leaves and stuff in the cash
register. Oh, I got goosebumps. Yeah. That is like next level otherworldly witchcraft.
Okay, now we're going to get into the devil shit.
Okay, one
more. I'll tell this one quick. It was Lent. And he would come to church in St. Ambrose, even though he was fully possessed by the devil or some shit.
Sure. Made some sort of deal or something.
He wouldn't go to church. I think he would come to like the Sunday like parish dinners and stuff.
Okay, sure. And but not actually the services.
I don't think he ever went into a church. He would burst into flames or some shit. This is, oh my God, there's so many I need to tell all of them, but I can't. Okay, this one is the last one because it's going to give so much context. It was my dance instructor, Myrna. Her mother told this story, and her mother wasn't feeling well. She had some sort of ailment, and she was talking about it, and Chicxulub overheard her and came over, and he's like, you know what? It's Lent right now. If you take an ace of spades and you walk around your house three times walking south, and the third time you come to your front door, there'll be a man waiting there for you. Take him into your house and ask him to heal you. And she's like, nope. She's like, he's talking about the devil. And this
I'm
a God-fearing woman.
Yeah.
And there's no fucking way am I going to do that. And like, these are like these people, like, these are stories that I've heard my entire life. These were like our campfire stories. Yeah. So I'm hearing like campfire stories about the place I got to go and fucking drive by tomorrow at 7 a.m. in the dark on a bus.
There'll be a guy on your step. Oh my God.
Yeah, there'll be a guy
my
waiting.
My eyes are like
there'll
as big as my whole page right now.
On your front step.
That's
you have. It was so specific. You have to invite him into your house. And there's this thing that you do on Lent is where you take holy water and you put it around all of the windows and doors, and you put it on all the four corners of your house. And it was weird because it like mimics that in a weird way, but you have to hold like a card and like all this weird stuff.
The spade is the devil's card.
Yeah.
That shit is so fascinating to me. Oh my God, I love it. I love all those scary
stories.
Oh,
that's great.
And there's so many
more.
I'm gonna
bike home in the dark by myself.
There's so many more. At least you're not biking.
I am biking.
Like a dirt road.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm happy we're talking about this in Vancouver.
In the city.
Yeah.
Three time zones away.
Get out your
And space. Everyone has a different story about this guy. Like all of my older aunts and uncles, they'll be like, oh yeah, like we,
he would show up and then we would be heading somewhere and he'd already be there, or he'd have all this fake stuff, or he would always give people this weird advice about how to like get stuff from the devil, and like people would like walk by his house and there'd be like a weird red light coming from his barn and like all this shit.
So is he the devil or is he the like?
Apparently
he was in
cahoots with the devil.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And his wife and kids left him because of his weird devil stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys, we have to stop this right now because I'm just gonna drag more stories out of you.
Yeah, so. And this is good. We're gonna be here all night.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's wrap it up. Have a quick break, and then we have to come back for obsessions time.
Yes, we do. Okay, we're back. Yeah. We had a very long interlude.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we had to
talk about some awesome things. That are cool. Super earth shattering important things that we're talking about.
Super off.
We
the
didn't press record. Sorry.
No. The office of off records.
Yes.
Is that how you say that?
Yep, right. That's accurate.
Speaking of, we're literally in a soundproofed room.
Yes. Absolutely. Oh,
speaking
boy.
Into microphones.
To be released on the internet. Oh, obsessions.
I think Thesis is wiretapping our ass.
And sure Russia. Though. Don't forget Russia. Yeah. Evan, what's your obsession? Where are you going? I elect you to go first.
I have been listening to a podcast called Whimsically Volatile. It is done by...
Good name.
It is done by Brian McCook, also known as Katya Zamolochkova from RuPaul's Drag Race fame.
You all right over there?
Yeah.
It's from...
And also from the Trixie and Katya show available on Viceland.
It's UN4Hs. I see. Okay.
Capital U, lowercase, everything else.
It's not just Abby having an aneurysm.
Not just me.
Anyway, the podcast.
Whimsically volatile.
It is fully just like a stream of consciousness conversation, like tangent after tangent after tangent. Like they kind of decide what the topic is, like after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
It's
see where it lands.
It's so fascinating. They cover so much ground, and the humor and the double entendres and the acronyms and the Drag Race tea and all of that stuff is just so fucking good. The Brian McCook, aka Katya, does this with their friend, also named Brian. I can't remember his last name. His name's Craig, rather. Craig. Yeah, there's a whole joke that you just need to listen to the podcast to get. It'll not translate. But Katya, at the beginning of this year, suffered what they describe as a mental breakdown.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
And had to cancel a one-woman show tour, cancel a bunch of gigs, didn't finish taping the first season of the Trixie and Katya show. And really had to take time for their mental health. And like this is like their first big regular project after coming back into the public view.
Right.
Since that incident. And the whole podcast talks very candidly about mental health and just like from obviously from like a very personal perspective, and it's incredibly interesting but also fucking hilarious.
What a great combination.
Yeah, it's just like there's a couple of like gags that like kind of continue per episode that you kind of have to wait for and see when they're gonna pop off, which I love.
That's fun.
And then they have some amazing guests. They've had a couple of Drag Race girls. I think Bianca Del Rio has been a guest. Who else has been a guest? Lady Bunny has been a guest. She's not a Drag Race girl, but she's
referenced heavily. Yes,
Lady Bunny, and then a couple of other folks, just like their friends and people in the industry, and just like interesting people, and they talk about really like broad, interesting topics. And
is it like a comedy podcast primarily, or is
100% primarily?
Sweet.
But they do get into some very serious shit.
Yeah.
And like they even when they're like, okay, we're gonna have to talk very seriously.
At least I can't do it.
And then they can't do it. They're like, we're gonna get into our Diane Sawyer interview.
Oh yes.
But then it just like obviously like spirals off into hilarity ensues. And then Katya, I just love Katya's humor and point of view, and it's just super.
I'm adding this to my queue.
Yeah,
right now.
I would my favorite episode so far has been the one with Bianca Del Rio, because Bianca and Katya can play a real good fucking game of tennis when it comes to like
back and forth
shit talking and being funny and just like all this like what the fuck did Katya say, and she's just like, oh, it was something about. Oh god, it doesn't translate. Like it's just like
I'm downloading it right
about
now.
How much she looks like a man in drag and like all this stuff. Oh no, it was just funny. She asked how much. She's like, would you for $10 million lick Lady Bunny's asshole? and then she's like, who's? She's like, I have so many questions. Like who's $10 million? Is it like where's like is it fresh? Is it freshly clean? Like what's the whole thing? And then Katya's like, a freshly clean, pristine butthole, and I will personally give you the $10 million. And she's like, yeah, I'd do it. And she's like, how about for $50,000? And she's like, for $50,000, I'd call you over and ask you to spread the cheeks. Oh god, I don't know. It's just like
good times.
It's like it's that level of shit, and then super serious, informed talks about mental health.
Oh, cool!
Fantastic. Yeah.
That's and good. More talks about that is always good.
Yes.
Fabulous.
Yeah, Whimsically Volatile. Listen to it on iTunes.
Beautiful.
And if you're a fan of Drag Race or anyone, it's like fully up your alley.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Abby.
My obsession. I'm currently dealing with it right now.
Is it
fucking?
Is it cough syrup? Is it hardcore drugs?
Oh, I wish. I'm upset. This is a bad obsession. This is like, I'm going fucking crazy obsession.
Uh-oh.
My phone being fucking full, the storage being full.
Oh,
it's driving me crazy. I've tried so many things. Don't give me advice about it. I'm not in a place.
How many gigs is your phone?
I'm not in a place to receive it.
Yeah.
So save it. Because I'm still angry. Dave has heard enough about this that he does not engage me
and
on
now
this
he has
topic
to hear
anymore.
It again because he edits our podcast.
Dave skipped this part. But fuck, man. Like, I don't even have that much shit on my phone and I'm somehow full. And I pay for the fucking cloud and I clean my shit up. Like, I clear photos all the time. I try to back it up. It's bullshit. It's a fucking conspiracy.
It is a conspiracy.
Apple, I hate you, but also I love you and I desperately need you. I'm just like, that fucking storage is full. Storage is full. Storage is full. Manage your settings. All the time. Drives me crazy.
And then when you can't, your kid's doing a cute thing and you can't take a video or a picture.
You can sneak it through Instagram.
Yes.
I know there's back doors.
I learned that trick from the art girls.
I know there's other ways to do it.
Yeah.
If your camera won't load, you go into the Instagram and take it as an Instagram photo or story and then save it.
And then
you don't even need to post it.
It'll save it anyway, but it'll also start deleting stuff from your phone willy-nilly, which I realized after I downloaded a bunch of photos off of Dropbox and all of my text messages were deleted.
Oh, fuck. Well, see, I don't keep text messages more than 30 days.
Me too.
I got rid of a whole bunch of, like, I'm trying to like... Yeah, trying to streamline, man. I've been Googling this shit all the time and it's not working. I'm also coming up, I think, on 3 years maybe with this phone. And usually they start to crap out at about two.
I didn't want to like have be the one to say it.
But I'm very, and then also like the idea of potentially getting a new phone, which I'm not opposed to, but I fucking hate Bluetooth headphones, and the new iPhones don't have a jack.
Would you get an Android?
See, I don't have FaceTime, and I use FaceTime all the time. I know there's the Facebook one too, but it's not as good as FaceTime, and I literally use FaceTime 5 days a week talking to people. I've considered my options, and I'm at a stalemate, so I'm really frustrated by it.
Although you can use FaceTime on a computer.
And on an iPad.
When the fuck am I going to be on a computer?
I almost always use FaceTime on a computer.
I'm only around my phone.
I guess people, like, surprise audience, people use things differently.
People are different. So, we'll see. Mind you, I dropped FaceTime to my parents who live overseas, and now they're moving back here to Canada. So maybe, they'll still want to see the kids, and I'm going to want to see their new puppy, and also them, I guess. Anyway, it's taking up a lot of space in my brain.
Your storage is almost full.
Anyway, so that's my obsession.
That is annoying.
It's annoying as fuck.
I'm really also personally offended at the suggestion that Apple can just get rid of a headphone jack and assume that everyone is going to be okay.
I hate it so much.
But for what reason? Is it going to give us more storage? Probably not.
It's going to cool make you buy different.
Another thing.
And buy another $100 fucking set of headphones when I can just go to London Drugs and buy $17.99 ones. Until they break, then I buy new ones.
Because the headphones
they will break.
Come with the phone when you buy an
iPhone. That's the also thing. Apple headphones do not work in my ears. I find them very painful.
They're really uncomfortable.
I cannot wear them. And I know there's other options. And like just the idea of those little fuckers that are just loose.
I know. They look ugly.
What am I supposed to do with that? Or the ones that are even like, some of them have a cord between the two of them that you wear around the back of your neck. What the fuck is that? What is that?
Can you use Bluetooth headphone technology with any brand of Bluetooth headphones? You might be able to.
I think so, yeah. If it's the Bluetooth technology, that's the thing.
So you don't actually need the earpods.
No. You should be able to
use a different brand.
In fact, you can use
Panasonic ones or whatever.
You can use wireless Bluetooth headphones with the phone you
already
have right now. Yeah.
They're just with the Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking wild, man. We're living in the future.
But you know what? I heard an interesting thing. A friend of mine works for a big headphone company. And I had a pair of headphones that, like, the Apple ones, they have that little remote on the cord with the volume.
Oh, yes. The little button.
And the start, stop, and the volume.
I do like that.
Which is, like, a major feature for me. I have headphones in all the time.
Yeah.
And I asked him if he has any new ones coming out, because a pair of mine that I had for a long, long time crapped out. And it has the volume control and the little like button thing remote on the
wire.
Cord.
Sure, yeah.
And I was like, "Do you have any more like that? Because I love that pair, but it crapped out and
one stopped working or whatever, as they do."
And he said, "Apple controls that technology now. So if you want to have a volume control remote on the cord of your headphones, you have to buy an Apple one."
Because I think I have a fuck you.
Sucks.
I think I have a JVC pair now that just has the stop and start, and I use that all the time.
I use the volume all the time.
The volume's great though
for when you're like in bed or when you're on the beach or when you're
coming in out of stores or something, whatever. Just walking around, living your life.
Anyway, that's
you want to quickly overhear something in the table behind you.
I mean, fully always on the bus. Like whenever there's some shit going down.
I do love the discretion of just like click. I'm listening to this weird drunk person on the bus. What are these two idiots talking about?
Nothing. Back to podcast.
Yeah. And they just wait and they get nothing good.
Nothing good.
They're just talking about boring stuff. Anyway. My phone's bullshit. I love it. I love my phone so much, but it's bullshit. It's driving me crazy. Anyway.
I'm a little late to this game. A little bit. But we just started watching Schitt's Creek on Netflix.
It's pretty good.
Pristine.
It is pretty good. Funny.
I haven't seen enough of it.
I am so in love with Dan Levy.
He is so funny.
He is so charming. He and his dad write the show. Catherine O'Hara is like comedy hero.
Goddess divine.
She's so great. Her whole deal on that show.
Her
is
whole deal.
Awesome.
The costume design in that show.
The clothes she gets to wear. Amazing.
Those gigantic stupid necklaces. I love it. She wears like a vest to bed, a vest over top of her pajamas. It's so stupid. I love it so much. I've only seen maybe five or six episodes, maybe seven. But they're really funny. And Dan Levy, his delivery is spot on every single time.
He's a little bit dumb, isn't he? On the show?
No. He's not dumb. He's just
naive.
Completely out of his element.
Yeah, okay, that's what it is.
As the show goes on, they all get much more aware of where they are.
Yeah.
And what the real world is like.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
They are very sheltered.
Yeah.
And privileged, I think is the word.
Yeah.
But it's his mannerisms, his delivery, it's the kind of thing that you can't put into a script. It's just all
has to deliver it. Yeah.
He's
so good. It's so, the sister is hilarious. Their dynamic is fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
The couple, like, Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy, like, their relationship is, they are clearly love each other and they know each other really well. And their marriage is very positive, which is nice to see in a show. That doesn't always happen.
Mm.
Anyway, I'm obsessed. It's so good. It's so funny. It's a Canadian show.
Beautiful.
It's done really well for itself. Dan Levy.
Go for it.
I love you. Be my best friend.
By the time that this podcast is aired, me and Daniel Levy will have entered a relationship.
Yeah. Because
I am going to Toronto in 2 days.
Oh, bring him back and have him on a podcast.
Yeah, he can be a guest on the Fashion Hags and we can talk about the fashion of Schitt's Creek.
Yay!
Let's do it.
Okay, what's in the books?
Let's try and get the costume designer of Schitt's Creek.
Oh my God, that'd be great.
I mean, we're going to write down all the names.
Ooh, let's do it.
Ooh. Yep. The only business cards I have right now are Fashion Hags ones, so that's one I'm going to be giving out
yes!
in Toronto.
Go for it.
Perfect.
Go for it.
Allison, do you have anything knocking around?
I'm going to have to just be like shameless with mine, I guess.
Do it.
This is your opportunity.
It's my opportunity. This is my moment to shine.
It is.
I am probably obsessed with myself right now.
A Leo woman.
That plays, basically, I went backpacking through Central America for 3 weeks a couple months ago. I recently got out of a relationship of 4 years, and I've been spending a lot of time looking after myself and trying to find what I need and trying to set myself in the direction that I want to go. I also, there was a period of time there where, like, I was, like, with my post-breakup coping, there was a lot of, like, jigsaw puzzles, too. So,
I
banged out 2 puzzles in, like, 48 hours. It's just, like, the perfect escape to, like, just, like, mindless.
Just shut your brain off?
Yeah, felt really good. And it was, like, puzzles. I enjoyed it so much that I'm still constantly thinking about the puzzles all the time. I gave myself, like, a deadline to stop doing them because I'm, like, okay, this was fun, but now I got to move on to, like,
something else.
I got to do other things. And one of the most important things for me right now has been tapping back into my creativity and, like, nurturing a part of myself that I feel like I kind of neglected a lot in recent years. And,
that's part of that also.
Self-care.
We haven't actually talked about this upcoming project of yours as well, which is definitely part of this that I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
So tell us about Cream.
So my dear friend Sarah Judge,
talked about Miss Judge.
Oh, you have
on
talked about Miss Judge. Did our
usually in conjunction with
she
yourself?
Did our that's shirts. Right. She did do your shirts. She's a very talented collage artist, and she frequently bends at the East Side Flea. But I don't think she'll be back until around Christmas right now. But she and I are going to be collaborating and putting on a pop up shop in Chinatown this summer. It's going to be the weekend of July 21st and 22nd. The event is called Cream Pop-Up Shop, and it is a sex-positive, queer-friendly retail event that will be featuring local artists and vendors. It will have some of my stuff in it. It will have some of Sarah's stuff, and maybe it'll even have some of these guys' stuff. We're trying to decide. As of right now, we don't really have any other vendors lined up. So if there's anybody out there that thinks that they have something, either some art, some products that they create, just whatever you think that might fit well into the space, you should reach out to me.
Although by the time this comes out, it might be too late. Let me check the calendar. Yeah.
Oh, no.
It'll be.
Oh, shit. I always forget we do every 2 weeks, not every week.
Yeah. But that's okay. No, we have this one should come out on the 4th of July.
Okay. So by then I'll probably have vendors, but maybe by then I'll just
reach out, man. Maybe something exceptional will land in your lap and you won't be able to say no.
Yeah,
and
also,
come to the show.
Come to the shop,
I guess.
Yeah, so this will, I should also specify Chinatown in Vancouver. That is where we are.
We will be in Vancouver.
That is the place that we are in. We will be donating a portion of proceeds from the event to a nonprofit in Vancouver as well. So I would hope that you can come on by and check it out. It's going to be a really fun time. It's going to be a beautiful summer weekend, I'm sure. And it's going to be colorful, creamy, maybe sexy.
And femme.
And femme.
And femme.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Should I like mention like my business again or like my
100%?
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm asking.
Yeah, do it. Go for it.
And I will be selling some of my Only Child apparel stuff there. I am going through a transition with my brand right now. So as of right now, I'm still liquidating off all of the apparel that I carry. It's all made in the USA and in Canada. And I'm going to be making way for some of the other products I like to sell, like my enamel pins and other things with snarky little...
Oh my God, your pencils are hilarious.
Comments on them. Yeah, pencils. And I'm going to be selling some prints as well. Fantastic. And you can find me on Instagram or Facebook at Only Child Apparel.
Beautiful!
This actually comes... This should come out before June 5th. This will come out at the... Or pardon me, July 5th. This will come out end of June. So you have a bit of time.
Nice!
Yeah! I think my math is correct.
Your numbers are crunched.
So often we talk about stuff and then it's already happened by the time
Yeah, I knew that this was going to air later, but I was like, I didn't think, like, I knew that it'd be later, but
we have to make some episodes.
Like, end of July is like, shit.
Bad. No. June and July in my brain always become the same thing because they're the same word.
And it's the same time of year and they're right next to each other.
And it's always hot.
The days just blend into one another.
Yep.
Well, anywho, we digress, as always.
Always.
Madison, thank you so much for joining us.
So happy we can make this happen.
Maybe we should hang out more.
Yeah.
You guys are like, totally. You guys are like,
I gotta go.
I got a flight to catch in 2 days.
Yeah, everyone's going away for a lot this summer, which is why we're pre-recording.
Sorry, guys.
We're banking some apps. Hey, man, this is why the time machine exists, so we can do this shit.
Time is a colonial construct. Remember that.
Time is a flat circle.
Let's go.
You guys can find us in all the places that we are. You can find us on Instagram, Fashion Hicks Podcast. You can email us at fashionhicks@gmail.com.
There's been some real funny shit on Instagram recently, so just saying. Mm-hmm. It's not important.
And send
it's
funny
not
shit.
Not
or useful.
It's remotely important.
But it's very entertaining.
You need it in your life.
Yeah.
But it's not going
to be fashion. Look it up, Brenda.
Send us a real nice or email review.
Be like Heather. Send us an email.
Heather. We love Heather. Review and rate on iTunes and all the places you get podcasts, because that actually makes a huge difference.
Love it.
And also remember that we love you.
But we love fashion more.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.